Welcome to episode number 34 of the Nintendo Jump Podcast. We are a weekly discussion podcast created for Nintendo gamers by Nintendo gamers. It's the day of the Direct, February 13th. My name is Daryl, and today I'm once again joined by Sergio. How you doing, bud?
Hey, man. I recovered already. It was upsetting for a couple of hours, I guess, but I'm back. I'm back in hype mode for Animal Crossing Switch, even though they didn't show anything about it.
We're glad to have you back. And, of course, our other co-host, Kevin. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty decent. You know, I have some mixed reactions with the Nintendo Direct today. We'll get into that later. But overall, I'm still hyped. Just a little bit. Not too much. Just a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
What about you, Daryl? How are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm probably the most positive of us, which, I mean, if for anybody listening to this, it really shouldn't come as a surprise. I don't know. I like new games. I like what they showed today quite a bit, actually. So I'm pretty positive on it. But, you know, Kevin, what are we talking about today?
Well, so you've already alluded to it. We're going to talk about the Nintendo Direct. And we're going to be talking about that one game that makes you want to dance and battle. I mean, Wargroove. So we're going to be having a discussion about that. And I think that's it. You know, we got a bunch of stuff, especially with the Nintendo Direct. You know, a lot of good games coming out. A lot of games that are hyped. Some unexpected. I'm feeling pretty excited about talking about this. So with that being said, we're going to start with Sergio. Sergio, what in this Direct has excited you and made you feel like, man, I'm going to play that game?
Well, it turned out to be a rather bittersweet experience when referring to this very specific game. And what I mean by that is, so I love the way the game is looking, and I'm talking about The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening coming to the Switch. But it was bittersweet to me because by that point there had not been any talk of Animal Crossing on the Switch. And they said, this is the last game we're going to announce today. So by the time I realized it was Zelda, you know, I was happy about that, but I was also very upset.
I mean, so before we get into too much hype, let's talk about the animal in the room. Yes, the elephant in the room, as it were. You know, we had a Direct in which we talked about a game that ended in the word festival, but they did not talk about Animal Crossing. So that's got to be a double whammy on you. But I mean, so my thought on that the entire time was, whether or not we see it in this Direct, we know it is coming. And obviously we're looking forward to seeing more about it. But basically this Direct just was showing whether we should expect it earlier in the year or whether we should expect it later in the year. Now I think we're kind of definitely looking at later in the year. You know, if I'm a betting man, I'm putting it somewhere around October, you know, or potentially that you could get it in like the summer months potentially, but that's kind of where you're looking. I would say almost assuredly after E3 at this point.
Right, exactly.
So we got to wait some more. But I mean, on the plus side, for the time being, we still have Sergio to talk about other games. So that's pretty cool too. So
we sure do. Not all about one game.
Always look on the bright. Yeah. I don't know. I think it helps that we do know that the game is coming, right? Like, we know for sure.
Yeah, technically so. You know, we didn't hear anything new, so, like you said, we still know the same thing. We know there's a new Animal Crossing game coming to the Switch in 2019. I mean, that's all we know. It's actually, the last Direct was 5 months to this date. So it was exactly 5 months before. And we haven't heard anything else besides back then.
And that Direct really wasn't anything either. That Direct was basically Tom Nook dialoguing. I mean, that was it.
Right. So, yeah, nothing has changed. And I just hope it doesn't happen like it did to Fire Emblem. You know, they say spring and it turns out to be summer. I mean, it's only 3 months at the most. I know it's not much, but I just hope Animal Crossing does make it to 2019. Even if it's December, that's fine. I just want it this year. I just want to see it.
You know, I think I'm just going to call it out right now. It will definitely come right around the holidays. Hopefully before, but the latest will be around the holidays just because, you know, we all know how prominent Animal Crossing has been as a franchise for Nintendo. And I mean, yes, we didn't hear anything about Animal Crossing today, but I'm hoping, I'm going to guarantee you we will hear something by E3. It will happen for sure.
Oh, I mean, yes. I think at this point it's got to be one of the focuses of E3.
It has to be. Like, I can imagine right now, okay? Like, I'm gonna call it out right now, okay? This is a prediction by me, okay? So, 5 days before E3, Nintendo's going to be like, hey, or not Nintendo, but Tom Nook's going to be like, hey, you know, we got this. We're gonna talk more about Animal Crossing. Well, you know, in his voice, and he's gonna show some props and all that. And then, during the presentation for E3, we're gonna have 22 minutes of Animal Crossing. I'm gonna predict right now. And
wow.
And there's gonna be an hour long treehouse about Animal Crossing. I feel
now
very
that
good
I actually kind of buy.
Yeah.
I actually kind of get that one.
Yeah, because then. I feel like this direct, I mean, y'all have seen what they talked about. They wanted to focus on Fire Emblem and other stuff. And I think when you, it makes sense to highlight, well, even though they only talk about for 5 minutes, but Fire Emblem for 5 minutes and then some other stuff that we may or may not have expected. So.
Yeah, and Animal Crossing wasn't the only one that they skipped here either.
Right.
Obviously, we know Animal Crossing is coming this year. No mention of that. Also, to your point earlier, I would be utterly shocked if Animal Crossing does not land this year. I honestly would.
Me too, man.
We also know that Pokemon is coming, the new generation of Pokemon. Again, I would be utterly shocked if it didn't land this year. And I saw a little bit of people freaking out about Pokemon. One thing to keep in mind, and I read this earlier today, and I didn't verify it, so please bear with me, but apparently no mainline Pokemon has ever been revealed at a Nintendo Direct or, like, shown off, like, for the first time in a Nintendo Direct. They always kind of have their own little event, so that's kind of a, you know, nothing to see here type thing. I'm not worried at all about Pokemon. Metroid Prime Trilogy, which has been really heavily rumored to the point of, I mean, it's almost a fact at this point that at some point Metroid Prime Trilogy is going to be a thing. It was going to be revealed along with Prime 4, but things got pushed around. I would still expect that game this year too. And all kind of in the last half of the year for sure. So those three, I think, were the three biggest absences that we can reasonably expect.
Yeah, and to talk about Pokemon, usually I would hear about, like, the next gen in, like, leaked magazines and, like, different, like, images that are posted on the web. So, at least from my experience, especially for the past couple generations.
Yeah, but we'll probably start seeing some, like, drip feed stuff and then finally a blowout video. And then it'll show up at E3 and it'll be the big... honestly, I'd be really surprised if it doesn't land literally in November. Like, I really expect Pokemon in November, so
yes,
that's kind of where I'm putting Animal Crossing maybe a month or two ahead of it.
But I am curious, though, like, because, you know, with the 7th generation, the focus was on Hawaii, but what about the 8th generation? Like, what's going to be next? We had Europe, you know, we have, obviously, parts of Japan. Like, what's going to be the next... setting, like, is it going to be
the Congo?
You know, the Congo, that would be cool.
No, they're just going to do the Assassin's Creed thing and go to Egypt. I think
I would love that, actually. That would be awesome. Or even South America, that would be another option,
too.
And maybe part of Antarctica. I mean, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it out there, but or, you know, I as much as a I don't want to say distraught, but as much as a fan, you know, both good and bad as I am with the series, I have to say I am hyped for the next Pokemon. I'm gonna keep my expectations low, but at the same time,
And now you're going to have to pet your Pokemon every 3 minutes.
Oh, no. I'm out of here. Bye. That's it for the podcast. We're done.
I mean, I think I'm not at all worried about either of those games because of this Direct. I'm really not.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be okay. It's a little bit of a bummer that we don't get to play Animal Crossing all year, but you know, that's just going to make it all the sweeter when it does land. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. You know, we're there for you, Serge. You know, hang on.
you'll have your 2 weeks vacation soon. Just for Animal Crossing. So,
but let's talk more about what we actually saw. So, Sergio, you brought up Link's Awakening, which was the final reveal. Goodness, game looked incredible to me. Like, first of all, Link's Awakening is a very, very beloved game, going all the way back to the original Game Boy, and then upgraded on Game Boy Color, and that was the last time we saw it. Like, that's it. And, you know, it's been on some virtual consoles and such, but in the world where we're kind of remaking every Zelda game, hey, Zelda 2, please. I think this was the next really good fit, and I was always kind of curious how they were going to do it. And honestly, how they decided to do it is one of the coolest looking things I've ever seen. Like, I know some people are going to be kind of taken aback from that art style. It's definitely cute and trying to be cute and kind of there. But I can't shake the feeling that when you actually see this game in motion, it is going to look phenomenal. Like, yes. Just phenomenal. And yeah, I'm excited about that.
I am too. And you know, you mentioned the difference between like the art styles between, you know, the original and what we saw today. But one thing remains constant, and it's the charm that it has. It's just, for me, like, I still feel that charm, you know, with just watching that small clip of, you know, Link, you know, going around and like chopping down the grass, and you know,
it's definitely there.
And man, I mean, I remember playing the original one back in Game Boy, but I might have to pick it up again. Okay. My backlog. Well, let's forget about that.
Oh, I mean, anytime you have a Direct, you pretty much expand your backlog. And that's
pretty
just,
much, yeah.
mine expanded by 2 games today. So, hey, there you go.
Boom.
Nice. I don't know. I was hoping that, you know, there were some rumors going around about a 2D Zelda. And I was kind of hoping for a multiplayer one, but honestly, I am not disappointed in this game at all. Like, I'm very happy to see what they've done with it. I really like the music, actually. The trailer really features some of the music from the game, including like a vocal track of the Ballad of the Windfish, which is amazing. Like, really, really good. We've actually featured that in one of our music episodes before, so really happy to see that. I think, from what I can tell, it looks like they're doing this game really, really well, and I'm happy. I'm excited to play it again.
Yes, definitely. It's my favorite portable Zelda, the original, and I'm really looking forward to playing it on the Switch. It looks amazing. I know they didn't show a lot of new content, if any new content. They did show that it's gonna have the special dungeon that you got to play on the DX version of the game if you played it on a Game Boy Color. So there's at least that. And you know what? You just gave me an idea, Daryl. I'm actually going to take it as far as to make a prediction. I was wondering when they were going to show more content, like new content to this version of the game, and I think they will, and I think it's going to be... It's small, mind you. It's not going to be a fully fledged, but it's going to be a small version of the Four Swords formula.
I would love it.
Ooh.
Oh, I would love it. That'd be awesome. If they threw... Because if they did do that on the Game Boy Advance with A Link to the Past, Four Swords. That was kind of the first iteration of Four Swords.
Yes.
Man, if they did that here, I mean, I'm already going to buy the game. Like, you don't have to really convince me, but goodness, that would jump it in my 2019 rankings instantly. And I know that.
Yeah, so I'm going with that, and I hope I'm right, and I think a lot of our listeners hope so as well. And you know what concerns me, or not so much of a concern, but like a curious thing. So they say it's coming out in 2019, and we already went through a couple of games that are mostly, I mean, it's not official, but we expect them in the later half of 2019. So, man, things are going to get pretty crowded. I'm actually, I don't know, I can see them pushing this game around September and letting the other games kind of have the holidays. I don't know what you guys think.
I think it makes sense. But honestly, I would rather see Animal Crossing come before, just because a lot of people have been waiting for that a lot more. And I think having Link's Awakening or this remake, if it's like the one of the final games coming out this year, I think that would be a good spot. That's just my good take.
Yeah, they're always a little screwy about when they show things. And yeah. Like, I remember back to last E3, they were adamant, you know, this E3, we're going to show games that are coming out in 2018, the rest of 2018. And they opened with Daemon X Machina, which is also featured in this Direct. So, yeah, we didn't. And they didn't even claim it was going to be a 2018 game. So I think they just kind of do whatever they want.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's a reasonable thing to say that Animal Crossing is probably coming later in the year, probably after E3. I think that's pretty easy.
Yes.
Where Zelda Link's Awakening lands, I have no idea based on this, because the game looks really, really good. So, I mean, they've obviously put some serious time into it. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Then, I mean, so I'm actually going to jump from the game that they closed the show with to the game that they opened the show with, which was, of course, Super Mario Maker 2.
Ooh.
So this was, it was another one, very heavily rumored. You know, I think it was a reasonable expectation to come out of this Direct. And the entire time I was sitting here going, okay, but how do you make this worthy of the two, as it were, you know, because Mario Maker was a huge game, like gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
Especially sure. they updated that game over time and added a bunch of stuff, and it was really cool. But, you know, I think they've done it. I honestly do. I was not as into Super Mario Maker after all of the updates, so I can't say for sure exactly what was new. Although I did notice, like, they opened the show with a slope, which I really enjoyed, because that was the one big thing that people were asking for, was slopes.
Right.
And that was literally the first thing they showed. I was like, okay, all right, fair enough, you're trolling me. But, you know, I also saw they had elements from even Mario 3D World, which I love. Like, the cat suit was in there, and the invisible pipes that you can direct different ways. They had, you could make enemies on tracks going certain ways. You could do a lot of stuff that I don't think that you could do in the original game, at least not nearly that easily. Like, this actually looks more to me like they're giving you the actual tools to make something like New Super Mario Brothers. Like, you know, there was definitely a level of difference between Mario Maker and the more modern Mario games. Mario Maker 2, it looks a lot closer. Like, a lot closer. So I think there's going to be some really cool things coming out of that game.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, I mean, coming out in June, E3 is going to be in June, so I would imagine that this would be, like, one of the highlights for Nintendo during E3. I would hope so. Because
I have a prediction there.
Oh, yeah? Because I say that because when I went to E3 that one year when they talked about Super Mario Maker, it was, they literally had, like, banners and just a lot more stalls or just, you know, places where you can just, like, play Super Mario Maker. And I wish I could have played it, but the line was too long. But
and it showed up. They actually had the Nintendo World Championships at E3, which prominently featured a race in Mario Maker. I bet they do that again this year.
I hope they do.
It was an amazing advertisement for that game because it was really funny to watch, and it really showed off what you could do with the game. I don't know, just kind of predicting that happens again.
Wait, didn't they show the last level for the Nintendo World Championships? Wasn't it like a level from Super Mario Odyssey?
That was the next time.
Oh, it was the next time. Okay, because I was thinking, man,
a few years later.
Okay, yeah, that's right, because it would be so crazy if they showed a level with Super Mario Odyssey 2. I don't know. That's not going to happen. But, I mean, that would be pretty crazy, man. Like, I would just burst into flames. But, oh, no. But, anyway, Super Mario Maker 2. You know, Daryl, I like the concept. I want to get it, but I won't. I just can't, man, because I just know that if I were to get this game, I would spend thousands of hours, and not that it's a bad thing, but I appreciate looking and watching the people do the levels. I think it's great, but I think it's a game that I would just sit back and just, you know, watch gameplays or watch you guys play.
I think you're going to get it. I absolutely think you're going to get it.
I don't know. Okay, we'll check back. We'll check back in a few months and then see what's happening. But for now, not for now. Definitely, I would not get the game. I don't think so. I can't, man. I did the same thing with Skyrim because I knew it was going to be really addicting. But
pretty similar game there.
Yeah, very similar game, obviously.
Well, I think this is going to be an absolute phenomenon, and I think it was on Wii U. It actually came out and made a big splash on Wii U, and now it's on a console that actually is doing really well.
Exactly.
I think this is going to take over the world, and I actually do. I will absolutely be there day one. That's absolutely, because I had... You know, I had a lot of fun actually making the levels in Super Mario Maker, the first one. I really did. And it wasn't really something I went into that expecting. I kind of just thought, well, you know, this is a Mario game with thousands of levels. That's going to be a lot of fun, right? But I ended up having a surprising amount of fun in the level creator. So I can't wait. I was a lot more impressed by this game than I expected to be. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, if they had ported Mario Maker, I probably would have gotten it anyway. But from what I saw in this, yeah, I'm definitely sold. I'm right there.
Nice. You know, it's very tempting. I missed out on the whole original hype period for a Mario Maker on the Wii U, and I don't want to make the same mistake. I'm not very much on the creative type in terms of making levels. So if I do, you know what? I'm getting it. There you go. I'm getting it. I'm going to play everyone's levels on our Discord group. I want your levels. Start making them if you want. I'm getting the game.
And we will probably figure out some way to do some like challenges or tournaments or prizes or something around Mario Maker. We need to see it come out and see exactly what we can do. But I think that'd be a lot of fun. Like, put bounties on levels. That might be kind of fun.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but... I will think about getting Mario, Super Mario.
He's
Maker.
Absolutely going to get it.
No, I mean, just because, I mean, even though I would think I would play thousands of hours, but I know that I can, you know, manage my time, but still be able to create some levels. I just know that I'm like the type who would get lost into these sort of, these things where I just like keep creating back and forth. And I just don't want to be too addicted. But seeing as you put into that context, Sergio, I'm gonna just not say anything until June, and then we'll talk about it.
And then we'll all play it together.
And then we'll all get it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think we've knocked out probably the two biggest announcements. I want to say, Kevin, what did you like from it? What stood out to you?
What stood out to me? Well, Daryl, there was one game that stood out to me that I was like, okay, I want to get that game. And, it, you know, it's not, well, Fire Emblem, yes, I want to get that game. But
yeah.
I was very interested in Oninaki, the action RPG from the same people, from Tokyo RPG Factory, who made I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere. I just like the whole, you know, just the contrast between the living world and the lost souls, and just gain those powers to, you know, to just to fight and the battle. Like I think it's gonna be, it's ever gonna be a game that I'm gonna keep watch of. I like what Tokyo RPG Factory has done. I played I Am Setsuna. I did not play Lost Sphere, unfortunately, but I do appreciate the craft that they put in. And you know, it's coming this summer, so I will keep my eye on that game. And I think that, you know, especially from that sort of developer, you know, I will consider getting it. I mean, this has already made a good first impression on me. So what do you guys think about that one?
It definitely piqued my interest. I can't really tell what it is in kind of a weird way, but yeah, it definitely looked interesting.
Yeah. And I noticed the change, you know, from more of the traditional turn-based to more of an action RPG. So it's, yeah. it's mm-hmm. good to have to cover both grounds, basically.
Right. And I just want to point out one thing, and I just put this, I just brought this up. This is from their official website, actually. Just this one, these two sentences. Reincarnation is the foundation of our way of life. We celebrate the lives we've been given and offer up prayers for next. And I think that really sets the tone for the whole mood of this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that, this is a story of that one watcher. Or I still even... It's, man, okay. I'm going to keep my eye on it. And, yeah, we will we'll see how that goes. But I do want to get into something that we've been expecting to see more of. Fire Emblem, the Three Houses.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what? I'm gonna say it. I wasn't as impressed as I thought I was gonna be. I feel like the Three Kingdoms thing. I mean, I know it was Three Houses. I know, you know, that was some, this is something that is, it shouldn't be surprising, but I just feel like the whole concept of like the Three Kingdoms and just like, oh, now it's like there's this one point of interest where, you know, you're at the monastery and you're trying to train to, or you're teaching, you know, other people, right? I mean, because correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you get to train and try to, you know, learn different skills and stuff. But I don't know. The whole thing seems a little cheesy. I don't know. I don't really.
It is Fire Emblem.
Well, I know, but something of it just seems kind of off.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm judging it. Well, maybe I'm quick to judge too quickly. Yeah, that makes any sense. But I don't know. Okay. Another thing too. I was talking to Sergio actually right before you came on, Daryl. But the eyes, man. It bothered me so much. Like, when you see their eyes, like, I don't see any other facial expression. It's like the same dot, and I don't know. I'm just nitpicking, but it was just like, man, like, what about, like, laughter? Like, can there be, like, different facial expressions or something? Like, it just seemed too fierce for me. I don't know. And although I do like what they show for the gameplay, I think that's cool. Like, you know, it reminds me of how they did it back in the GameCube version of Fire Emblem. I'm totally drawing a blank on the name. Sorry. But
Path of Radiance.
Path of Radiance, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is that the one with Ike?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Sergio, save me. What do you think?
No, it's true. I completely agree. I feel like I wanted the game more before I saw it today. Today, I wanted a little bit less.
Oh, no.
part of it is, you know, Fates had... The whole, you know, Corrin has two families thing. Okay. I know it was sort of a mixed thing. I liked the way they presented it. I think it was well done. But then when they announced Three Houses, it made it so obvious that it was going to be, okay, so it's the same thing, but now it's three. And then now that they introduced it, and I feel like they didn't give us enough details, and the ones that they did, it doesn't paint the game in a way that I wish it did. It doesn't paint it too well. I think a lot of us, you know, a lot of viewers are probably going to be feeling the same way. But you know what? I expect a dedicated Three Houses Direct,
yep.
Maybe a month mm-hmm. or a couple of weeks before it comes out, maybe even with a demo. And I think that's going to answer all our questions. It's going to show us all the awesome details that I know the game has to have and that they just decided not to show, or maybe they just miscalculated what to show.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, keep in mind, this game is coming out 5 months from now. So they've got a lot of time to build this. I agree. I don't think that they showed it very well.
Didn't.
Because they really... I think... You know, I always try to think of what the goal was that they were trying to show. And I think that what they were trying to show is that, hey, this has got a lot of different systems than normal Fire Emblem does. Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just flat out, that's a good thing. It could also be swung as a bad thing, depending on how they do it. But, you know, Awakening and then Fates kind of did the same thing that Awakening did in terms of, you know, you still got children and you can still, you know, here's this really weak story concept for why they're there and things like yeah. that. And honestly, that actually, like, I like that mechanic. Mechanically, it was nice, but that actually kind of diminished my view of that game. So to see them kind of doing a hard break and not, like, now with more time travel, you know, I think it's interesting. The first bullet I wrote down, so I was taking notes during the direct, and the first bullet I wrote was, we Hogwarts now. And that's kind of what it felt like to me. Like, we are literally, like, the main character, who seems to be another Avatar type character, is literally an instructor at this school. And I think that they focused really on that. What they very clearly did not show was what the overall narrative is going to be. You know, the next bullet I wrote down was, looks cool, but interested about how guided it is. You know, I'd like to see like some epic battles and not just like, you know, okay, go beat these ruffians now, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that'll be there. I have a lot of faith in the development team, and I think they got a lot of time to show it off. So I'm cautiously optimistic. It's still like, believe me, it's a Fire Emblem game. I will be buying it this year. Like, no worries there. We're still doing the challenge, assuming we can. I mean, I think we should.
we're still doing it for sure. I mean, that's not going to change. But I think
with caveat now that the characters that are dying are all going to be school kids. So hey, extra feels. There you go. And we'll all have different paths and such. Like, we can all pick different houses if we want. So
I was thinking about that.
So I think it's going to be fun for what we want to do with it, and I think it has a chance to be a really good game. I just want to see more of it. I don't
want to see
care
the fun
too
parts
much
of it.
About what they showed exactly. I would like to see a lot more of the actual epic story, because what they showed of like the battles and these like boss characters and like a character summoning all these guys on horseback and stuff, it was awesome. Like, it looked great.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to see more of that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you got it right on the money, you know, being cautiously optimistic about this game. And I still am. I just, it just seems like Final Fantasy 15, you know, like, great idea, but poorly executed for this 5-minute thing. And I know people have heard me talk about Final Fantasy 15, but I really do hope that Fire Emblem does well. And I'm glad they delayed it, because you know, after watching it today, I'm like, yes, thank you. Like, just take your time, you know, show some more stuff, but you know, just, you know, hopefully the next video or next direct.
Fix this thing.
Fix it. You know, like, oh man,
that's a little harsh for me, but it's fair.
Yeah, I care about this, guys. I care about this. Like, I'm putting all of my, well, not all of it, but some hype. I'm putting majority of my hype into this game. So anyway, maybe I'll transfer some of that to Oninaki, but yeah, Oninaki. Anyway.
All right, Sergio, what else you got?
So, I mean, I wanted to save this for the very last, but yeah, Disney Tsum Festival, it really stood out. No, no.
Oh, wait. All right.
I'm walking away. About
I couldn't even let you finish that joke. I was really hoping it was a joke.
Jokes?
Yeah, man. No.
Moving on.
So, one that actually did caught my eye and it made me say, wow, is Dragon Quest XI is something of the something definitive edition. Longest name ever.
No. We need to get this right, because this is the longest name, I think, on the system. It is Dragon Quest XI's Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Put that as a tongue twister.
It's amazing.
That is like... When they were making that name, what were they thinking?
Like, Turbo and Knuckles. Like, I don't know. It's great. It's fantastic.
I was like, wow. Yeah. It's probably the most epic name for an RPG.
So that's why it took so long for us to get this game, huh?
Yeah, they couldn't probably localize
the name. They
were
typing the name.
Oh, man.
like you thought New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe was long.
No, you got a winner right here. Oh, my goodness.
No, this game looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it has everything. It has, you know, the full game, but you can also play it in 3D and on 2D. And then also,
yeah,
it has English and Japanese. It's like, oh, wow. So,
and new and old music and everything. It looks fantastic.
Dang. The 3D and 2D part, that was really impressive. I didn't even, when I was watching that direct, I was like, man, what? You can do it in 2D too? Like, dang, okay. So,
And when you say 3D, it does not look all that dissimilar from something like Breath of the Wild, which was really cool to me and kind of startling, to be honest.
Right. Oh.
So definitely a definitive edition all the way through, I would say. So it definitely impressed me.
Good stuff.
Another little one, the Starlink Battle for Atlas is getting more Star Fox content in Star Wolf.
Yeah. And...
Dude, I was floored by this.
Out of nowhere.
We're going to have to do another episode, you know, to stay on target.
I have to continue that game. I haven't played it since
it's like the perfect chance to come back to it, yeah.
It would be, yeah.
Well, very specifically, you can now play all the missions as Slippy Toad, and you better believe I am playing all of the game as Slippy Toad pretty soon here. It's going to happen. Done. That's it. I don't know what's wrong with me, but the other Star Wolf team members show up. You can play as the other Star Fox team members. There's new missions and stuff to do, and they have done some updates to that game already, which I haven't even seen yet. I haven't gone back to it, so definitely will when this comes out, for sure, is April, they said.
Yeah, and there's another thing that they highlighted in the direct, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Now, for y'all who didn't know, it was a Kickstarter-backed project, and the fact that it's going to come this summer, as a Castlevania fan, I'm pretty excited about this game, and I mean, I'm going to get it, so it's already in my always growing backlog, and what do you guys think about Bloodstained? Was it impressive, not impressive, did you like it?
It looks, you know, it looks really good, like a Castlevania is back type of feeling, but, you know, with a couple of changes, and I'm actually really impressed by the way it looks. The graphics really caught my attention.
Yeah, I think it looks nice. For whatever reason, I've never been as hyped about this game, and I'm just not there yet. I think it'll probably be a good game, for sure. And it looks nice, and it seems to be kind of intriguing. I don't know. This one's kind of just not on my radar for some reason.
Speaking of radar, two games. Excuse me.
So you're not gonna let me go then, huh?
No, sorry. I'll try to make a segue, but no.
There are no segues here, man.
Okay, well,
there
I was gonna
no segues. Speaking of radars,
we had there were two games in particular.
Wait,
that...
seriously, you're gonna skip me?
Oh no, I'm not gonna skip you. No. Sorry. All right, Daryl. What's in your radar?
Capital One. I mean, the other one that was big for me, and I've mentioned this before, and I feel like it's probably getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. We saw it at the Game Awards. It's Marvel Ultimate Alliance, The Black Order.
Right.
Which is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, basically. Right. And for anybody who hasn't played that game, on one of the previous console generations, it was on, I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 was on like GameCube PS2 era. Mm-hmm. Then Ultimate Alliance 2, I remember playing it on Wii. So it was kind of in that time, and we haven't seen it since. Those games are super fun. Like really, really fun. Like they're kind of Diablo style, kind of. With RPG elements, you can level up your characters, learn new skills and attacks and all sorts of things. It's a four-player kind of brawler game playing as superheroes, and they all play differently, and they all feel awesome. Most notably, I don't know if they mentioned this too much at the Game Awards. I don't remember it, but they did mention that it has online and local wireless play. Right. So you can play across multiple Switches, either online or in local, and it's coming out this summer. Man, sign me up, because those games are awesome. Like, seriously, I love those games, and I can't wait to play it again.
Yeah, definitely. Not my type of game, but I agree with you. I like the fact that they made a point to really say, you know, you can play this local co-op in dock mode. You can play four-player handheld, local, or online. So they're going all out, and it does look really polished and really fun.
Yeah, definitely. I, as well, am not... I'm not as Well, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not a big superhero kind of person, I'm sorry to say, but I do appreciate the fact that, you know, they have, you know, this thing come together and just being able to play with your friends. And like, even when they were showing in the trailer where you can play, you know, four players and just have all that, like, I think it's going to be great. And it just, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know, I'm just not as into it as much. I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack for that, but you know,
not. Keep, I mean, yeah. It's so pervasive now that I think that people are almost kind of going away from it at this point. But right. You know, it still is cool to see at least some sort of exclusive from Marvel on Switch. I don't know if it's a timed exclusive or what, but right now it's coming to Switch, right. And that's it. And it looks like to Sergio's point, it looks like they're taking advantage of the console. So it's very nice to see.
It that, is.
You know, Nintendo lands this gigantic, crossover kind of, and it's really nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of seeing, I saw three things. I saw three things that caught my eye. Okay, one of them, and Daryl, I know you're excited for this one. Tetris 99. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I really like it. Like, they dropped a Tetris game that you can play with almost not quite rounding up to 100 other people online, and you all play at the same time and like dump garbage on each other, and it's a really, really bare bones simple Tetris game, but I still really like it, and it's free. Like, just go download it, play right. Some Tetris with a bunch of people. It's really frantic. Still not really sure exactly how all the rules work in terms of, like, who's sending garbage on you, what that meter on the left means. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's very hectic. It's really fun Tetris. And when you get down to 10 players, it really, really speeds up. And it just, the music starts actually playing a rendition of Flight of the Bumblebee. And it's amazingly stressful, and I mean that in a good way. It's really fun. Like, I really, really like it for just to, hey, go download this now. Perfect. Awesome.
Right. And nice. Not only that, but the possibilities of getting other free games in the future that are probably, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be online multiplayer focused so that they promote the subscription service, but I don't think anybody was expecting that, really, and it makes so much sense in. It's exciting to wonder what else we're gonna be getting.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we got Tetris Battle Royale. I mean, we can move on to I don't know, maybe Puzzle League Battle Royale. Hey.
That would be, oh my goodness. Sign me up. Mm-mm-mm.
Goodbye, Rocket League.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
hold on,
yeah.
Hold on. That's a big statement. I don't want to move past that one.
Yo, what's gonna happen to your
goodbye
3 a.m.
game
wake-up calls.
I dropped all other games for.
Yeah, what about your 4 a.m. Rocket League gameplays? Are gonna be?
Oh, just man. Be Puzzle League now.
Yeah, I'll be Puzzle League. Yeah. Oh man. Well, there's another game that I did not even expect would have a demo for, and I believe our man Sergio played the demo earlier today. Sergio, what game am I referring to?
It is Yoshi's Crafted World, and it was part, I would say there were a lot of co-op focused games announced today, but one that we have been really looking forward to, and it's almost here, Yoshi's Crafted World, and they did release a demo of the first course. You're able to play it frontwards and backwards.
Yes.
So it's very good. You know, the frontwards part is traditional Yoshi's Island type of collecting flowers, health, and red coins. Not too challenging, but, you know, it's fun to play. There's a lot of cool new mechanics with the crafting and the things that you can shoot with the eggs. But then when you play it backward, there's like a new challenge, and it seems like it's going to be different for each course. So on the one you play on the demo, you have to collect three other characters, mini Poochies, I believe they were called. So, and then there's, to add to that, you can also do an extra challenge, which is basically collecting them in a time limit. So basically there's going to be more things to do and different than when you play in the front way, which is pretty cool.
I'm not going to download the demo just because I know I'm going to get the game, which, by the way, how many times have I said that this episode?
Nice.
And every time is actually true. I am going to get every game that I've said I'm going to get. No, I'm going to buy Yoshi's Crafted World. I mean, Yoshi's Woolly World was great. This is the perfect type of game that I'm going to sit down and play with my wife. Awesome. I mean, yes. So I don't need a demo to tell me I'm going to buy it.
Right.
that is true. And, you know, for me, I'm still holding my Yarn Yoshi amiibo. Just talking right now. I mean, I'm obviously really excited about the game. And I played a little bit of demo earlier, right before our recording. And, you know, the charm is still there. I like the way the background is kind of blurred out. I haven't gone to the part where you can play the level backwards, but I will soon. And yeah, it's going to be a surefire winner. And speaking of winners, the third one that I was referring to that I didn't expect, well, maybe, by Toby Fox, who made Undertale, Deltarune Chapter 1.
Yep.
And, you know, the cool thing about it, well, there's a lot of cool things about it, but the coolest thing about this game is that it's coming out for free on February 28th. I was like, what? That is, oh man. Okay.
Had a really good trailer too. I really enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah.
It was an awesome trailer.
It was probably my favorite trailer shown. So, yeah. Go back and watch that one. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh man.
It looks good. I have not played through Undertale yet. I need to. So I'm gonna kind of hold off. My wife was playing a little bit, so you know, I get it, an understanding of kind of what the game is doing, and it's awesome. I really, really like it. I just haven't played through it yet.
Yeah, I still have to finish the game myself. I've already put some hours into it, and man, I definitely need to finish it before Deltarune. But yeah, man, like, gosh, there's so many games that they talked about today. I mean,
yeah, so we can probably rapid fire a few of these. Box Boy and Box Girl. The yes. Box Boy series is really good. It's a cute little puzzle game that actually is surprisingly tricky at times. You know, I'm interested in it. I did not get the last Box Boy game because I was just kind of done with that format. But, you know, it is a good game. So, great.
Yes.
Awesome little platforming puzzler. Smash Brothers 3.0 update and Joker are coming apparently in April.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really say that much, like surprisingly little right. about Super Smash Brothers. So not much there, but I mean, cool.
Yeah.
They've updated Captain Toad with a free update for two-player co-op, which is awesome. I will play through that game with my wife. That's fantastic. Nice. Also, mm-hmm. There's paid DLC. So, I mean, yes. That's a fairly old game for them to be updating. So awesome. Great.
I want to mention Rune Factory 4.
Yep.
You know, that was,
and
I
five.
Didn't expect that. And 5. And I just want to say this. I'm going to say this right now. The publishers, XT Games, the same publishers who published one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. So.
Wait,
no,
hold on. Let me just say it.
No, we're going to go straight on to.
Okay. That's all I have to say. All right. I know. I know. It's lame. It's lame, but I just had to say it.
You really didn't. So no. We're going to go straight on to a game that kind of knocked me a little bit was Unravel 2. And I was very happy to see this game. I remember watching Microsoft's E3 presentation. I forget exactly even when it was shown off, but
right.
This game was shown off as a Microsoft exclusive published by EA, who
Ooh.
We've talked about before, has not really supported Nintendo very much. But it's a co-op game. It is basically these two little yarn guys who, by the way, are the same colors as the Neon Joy-Cons. Ironic.
Right.
And they use a lot of really cool little co-op platforming techniques, like throwing yarn over branches to like swing together to get across gaps and stuff. It's neat. It's really cool looking. When I saw it at E3, you know, whenever that was, I wondered if and when it might ever come to Switch, and here it is. So I'm super happy to see that personally. And then Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice got announced for this spring. You guys know much about that?
Unfortunately, I do not.
No, so, I don't, but it looks really out there. Like, it looks very interesting.
Yeah, the only thing I know for sure about it is it was contending for a lot of game awards, a lot.
Right.
And I think it Ooh. Won. I can't remember at the game awards. Actually, it won like best story or games with a purpose or something like that. Like it won one of the Impact Awards and a bunch of like audio visual ones. That seems to be a pretty cool pick up for Nintendo. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not something you see on the Nintendo side, or I guess at least we didn't used to see, and it's nice to be moving away from that. It looks like one of those games that it's like an experience.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not sure how much it personally interests me, but it definitely, I file it under the, hey, this is really nice to have on the system. So,
right.
I mean, just coming off the fact that it's inspired by Norse mythology and Celtic culture, I mean, that's something that I don't really see as often in video games. Well, the only thing I can think of is like Banner Saga for Norse mythology. But other than that,
I think it pops up a lot, but it's never a really strong reference. It's more like,
right.
You know, Cloud's bike is named Fenrir, and you know, the summons in Final Fantasy are all Norse, but
yeah,
it's not really diving too much into the mythology other than that. And there's a segue for you. Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Coming March 26th. So, you know, there was some working theories that maybe this would be the surprise drop for today. It was not, but it's
right.
Just about a month away. The surprise drop for today was actually Final Fantasy IX, which
my
floored
goodness.
Me. I did not expect that at all.
Are you going to get it, Daryl?
I already got it.
Awesome. Oh,
That made my day, man. It's
$20, and if I'm being honest, of the list of Final Fantasies coming to Switch, other than Crystal Chronicles, this was my number one. I've heard such good things about it. It's kind of a throwback to the older games, and it looks really cool. I like the art style. I think it holds up for sure. So, yeah, this was going to be my most excited one, and I'm actually personally really happy that this is the first one to hit.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that because the creator of Final Fantasy, Hironobu Sakaguchi, his favorite Final Fantasy of all time is actually Final Fantasy IX. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Oh, really?
It is, yeah. Fun fact. So, it's a very solid game, and I can't wait for you to play it. Like, I know that there are other people in the Discord community, they are excited for this game too. I'm sure they already bought it as well. So, oh man.
No, I have no drought of RPGs, but I'll definitely be playing through it because I'm very curious about this game. Like really, really curious.
And you know, one that I'm also really excited for, but I don't think a lot of people are. Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of news, but only for Japan, and now it kind of makes sense why. I guess Nintendo wanted to save them for this direct. It's coming out in March 20. Yeah, looking forward to this one.
I'm pretty
Good
much
stuff.
Looking. I'm very happy to see Square Enix coming through as well as they are with Dragon Quest XI, you know, Tales of the Long titles, and all the Final Fantasies in the world except for 8, because screw that game. And
no,
their
hold
words
on.
Not mine, I'm sorry. You know,
not for my most important Final Fantasy.
I'm just saying they
I
don't
know.
Like it, obviously.
I cannot believe that. I know they I need to write a petition for them to consider Final Fantasy VIII because I think it is an underrated classic that not a lot of people would say. I mean, it's just, anyway, it's all good.
No, I'm really happy to see them really coming through in full force because I really like that company. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing these games, I'm excited. I'm literally excited to play Final Fantasy IX, which is, you know, I picked up Tales of Vesperia as kind of a, I want to check out what this game is. I want to see what it is, but something about a Final Fantasy title, you get that in front of me, I'm like, ooh, you know, you start it up and you get that, you know, it's perfect. It's exactly what I want. When I think of, no, I'm good.
I was just trying to make sense of the music. Anyway, okay.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I know.
Yes. I don't know. I'm ready for a new Final Fantasy. Well, a new to me Final Fantasy game. So there you go.
Right.
And
nice.
I think the last point that I had as far as a big game, and this was maybe the most confusing of them, a game called Astral Chain.
Yes. I mean, it's the typical Platinum Games approach to games, which is like, WTH is going on, yeah. But it looks amazing. I want to play it.
Well, I was sitting there going, wait, is this, are we being trolled? Is this Bayonetta, but like, these are the villains? But no, this is just, it's another Platinum game from, I forget exactly who it was, but basically the development teams of Wonderful 101 and Bayonetta games, working on a brand new game that has two characters in combat connected by a chain. I don't know if that means some sort of co-op or if you're controlling both somehow. I don't know, but it...
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks utterly visually confusing, but also kind of awesome. So...
Yes.
You know, chalk it up to a classic of this developer. But, I think that's a... I think that'll be a really impressive game when it actually does drop. My only bullet here was crazy looking.
Yeah, I mean, like, just watching what was going on, I was like, I don't even know where they're fighting. Like, but I think that's the appeal. It's mysterious, and I just, man, I'm going to keep note of this one. So here we go.
And, you know, just to close the book on Animal Crossing again, I know I talked about it earlier. You know,
it's okay. So we'll open it back up later.
Yeah, there we go.
When I came into this rig, that's all I wanted to see. And I was thinking to myself, everything else, no matter what else, is a bonus. And then, I mean, it was hard to accept that there was no Animal Crossing content. And I wanted to watch the direct again to sort of go over it and actually pay attention to what happened. And I think this summary that we just went through, man, this is what I needed. This was a good direct. I mean, I just had to look at it from a broad perspective.
Well, this was the kind of direct that I'm not sitting here saying I was expecting this kind of direct, because how could you? But
right.
I talked about it a few weeks ago, where I kind of expect this year to be the year of the weird titles, like the kind of out of left field type games. Link's Awakening, yeah, for sure. That's that's exactly where I was on that, and I love it. I love it because the Switch already has like some of the best AAAs, just period. Like some of the best games I've ever played are on Switch at this point.
Right.
And you know they're kind of trickling in some of the Wii U ports that I think are great. We're about to have Mario Maker, which is just going to blow the world up, like we said.
Yes.
You got this really cool reimagining of. Some people's honest to goodness favorite Zelda game is Link's Awakening. Which I can't fault them for. If you really like that game, I can't argue. It's a great game. You know, I'm glad to see it being remade. I just think this is the year that we're really going to fill in the library with a lot of like sideways titles, and I love it. I more of this, all of this. It's great.
Yeah, I completely agree, and this just goes to show that, you know, we're still going to have a very exciting year of video gaming, especially from Nintendo. I mean, it's still going strong. The Switch is still hot. I mean, I don't even know what else we can expect, but I mean, besides, you know, more footage of Animal Crossing or gameplay and the Metroid trilogy and all that, but I'm excited.
I think we're in for a surprisingly good year. I think it's going to be like, if you kind of wrote down the titles on a chalkboard and you compared this year to especially the launch year of the Switch, it's not going to be as fundamentally strong, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
This is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I lost my accent, but you know, I'm just like, I'm literally just juggling my Yoshi amiibo back and forth. I'm just like, man, this is like, I can't even contain it, but what a good direct. And
and we actually missed, I mean, we did not mention like a handful of other games, including like a good looking racing game and thing, Grid Autosport, a few things that, you know, we just don't have time. But I thought it was a good direct. I honestly did. And that's why I kind of opened it up by saying I'm positive on this, because I'm seeing, I mean, how many times did I mention I'm going to get this game? Probably six on this list.
That's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be spending a lot of money buying these and playing these games, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you already got Final Fantasy IX, so you're already good to go.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
That'll be my game as soon as I can put down Tetris 99. Holy crap, that game is awesome. Oh,
man, I already have it downloaded too. I was like,
Oh man, I've lost like 3 hours today into that game. that game is nutty. I don't even understand it because like, there's only one mode. Like you go in and you play Tetris and that's it. Just play it. It's an experience.
Man, I mean, a battle royale version in the form of Tetris. I mean,
and not against 100 players. No. That would be stupid. No, we're gonna go with 99.
99.
I don't know. It's that game is fantastic for a free game. And I did download the demo for Daemon X Machina. I will give it a play and probably talk about it next episode. Some I didn't get to it because Tetris. So there you go.
Yeah, I too also downloaded Daemon X Machina, and I would like to engage in that conversation with you as well. And also, I'm just gonna say right now, there is a game that I started playing. You guys know, but no one else does. That I will talk about next week. Stay tuned. So speaking of this week, we're gonna be talking about Wargroove. Hey. Wargroove. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Daryl, I know you put some good hours into the game. What do you think of Wargroove so far? How do you like it? How do you like the campaign, the multiplayer, the co-op? Blah. Like, just what is your overall impression so far?
I'm complicated on Wargroove, and I don't want to be exactly, because I mean, on the surface, you're playing Wargroove, and it is kind of, you know, everybody mentions this. It is kind of exactly Advanced Wars, with some differences here and there. That you have commander units that, you know, the quote unquote CO powers are all done just on individual units, kind of on a smaller scale. There's no real other difference between the different armies. Like everything's kind of the same, and they have some different unit types. In particular, I think like ocean battles are a lot more interesting in it. I think the units that they actually have there are a lot more interesting than Advanced Wars had. But otherwise, I mean, if you've played Advanced Wars or in some capacity, even like Fire Emblem and things like that, you're going to jump into this game pretty quick. It's not that not that hard to jump into. It's pretty simple. I actually really like some of the mechanic changes, like capturing and keeping buildings is a lot different than in Advanced Wars, where Advanced Wars, to capture or steal a building, it took two turns of an infantry guy basically hopping on the building, and that was it. In this, you're actually literally attacking the building if you want to capture it from, or basically remove an enemy from it. Or to capture it, it just takes one turn. You got to move beside it and say, hey, I want this, and it takes it. And the buildings also heal your guys, but in order to do that, you have to weaken the building. So there's kind of a risk reward of doing that, in addition to actually using some money to do it. So I think there's some really smart stuff around how they've done the buildings. I actually really like, I'm very positive on it. With that, so mechanically, I kind of knew what I was getting into. It's very strong mechanically. I really don't like the campaign. I really, really don't.
Oh, no.
I have to concur because it just feels very generic. I mean, it is so bland, and it just keeps being bland, and I keep
trying to get it to ramp up. And even the side missions, I'm just like, they do this weird rating system that it's only based on how fast you complete the missions, not like. You don't really get anything for completing them without losing anybody or anything. So basically the goal is to just speed through it as recklessly as possible without dying and finish the mission. And it's just, I think I've literally fallen asleep playing this game. I just don't like it in the campaign. I don't like what they've put together. Now, the really nice thing about this particular game is it doesn't really matter if you don't like the campaign, because the multiplayer options are freaking phenomenal. Really good. Yeah. So it's kind of a tale of two games for me. Like the simultaneous multiplayer, I've done that with a couple people in the Discord. Everybody playing at the same time, waiting for each other's moves and stuff. We've done the asynchronous multiplayer where we just kind of do our own moves whenever we think about it. That's also fun, and I love having that option. Yeah. I've done quick play against people online, which is also really fun. Love that. Mm-hmm. Downloaded some custom maps. Haven't downloaded any custom campaigns, but I'm assuming there's going to be some really good ones as we move on. better than what's actually in the game, in my opinion.
You know, I heard that there are people who've uploaded and made Fire Emblem and Advance Wars maps.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's a homage to those classics. And you know, yeah, I'm with you on the campaign. I find myself skipping the narrative, just like, you know, holding the button down.
I got to where I'm turning off the animations and everything. Oh. I'm trying to like blaze through the campaign because I'm not having fun with it.
You know, there is one thing about one of the animations that I really do like. Well, it's not so much the animation, but it's the sound. Is like when you know, you're going to, you know, attack a building, and then you have your infantry, and you say, hey, hey! I always get a good kick out of it. I don't know. It's just, it just got to me. But
so I'm guessing from your reaction, Sergio, that you actually really like the campaign?
No, actually, well, so when we talked about this game, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, and I said that it was very hard, but I was going to try to resist getting the game, and I was successful. I did not get it. But one of the things that I was looking forward to was actually the campaign. The little that I played of Advance Wars on the Game Boy Advance, well, the Game Boy Advance game, I played it on the Wii U. I like the fact that it kind of didn't take itself too seriously. But I guess my understanding was that this was something a little different, and it actually had a story that you could follow and that was interesting. So, yeah, it's a little disappointing to hear that it's not that good.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have said that it was better than expected. But, I mean, coming into a game like Wargroove, I had a feeling that the story was going to be lackluster. It wasn't going to be that good. It was going to be more focused on the multiplayer and just the game mechanics itself. And,
right. Well, I generally have a problem, and this will pop up from time to time as I'm talking about other games. I generally have a problem with games kind of copying other games that I really like. And yeah. I think I mentioned this about Wargroove, that, you know, the fact that it's leaning so hard into Advance Wars. Now, admittedly, we don't have a new one of those coming, so fair right. enough, the space is open, right? But, I mean, this is getting paraded, hey, it's Advance Wars, you know, and it's not. And it doesn't convey the same, like, you mentioned that Advance Wars is kind of lighthearted. Yeah, it definitely is.
Right.
It almost disturbingly so, if you right. really think about it. Hey, I want to challenge you to a fight. Hey, guys, go kill the other... whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get too far into that one. But this one does the exact same thing, but the characters, to me, are much less likable. So it's just yeah. like...
Yeah, it's. I mean, the dog is cool. The dog commander.
Oh, I
is
love
cool,
Caesar.
Caesar's
so
awesome, man.
Everything I'm saying about the commanders being blah or whatever is completely negated by the fact that there is a dog commander, and yeah. he's amazing. He's just. I can't even explain it. He's just fantastic.
I love his special ability. When you are able to activate it, you get to have the units around you take another turn within that same round. So that's awesome. And yeah, you know, I still like the art style, though. I think the art style is very...
Oh, sure.
It's very appropriate, and it fits well with the gameplay. I haven't done quick plays yet. I do want to soon, but I have an ongoing asynchronous multiplayer game going on with one of our other Discord members. Shout out to Sonic King. And, yeah, it's been cool just to, you know, go back and forth, and we're doing co-op, you know, 2v2. And yeah, like, you know, this one unit that I really like called the Oni, like, man, it's like a big giant, and he's able to like crush people or crush creatures and stuff. And I mean, I do like the variety of units, and I do agree with all the things you said, Daryl, especially with the fact that, you know, the rating system is flawed. Like, it's just depends on how fast you finish the mission. I mean, it doesn't reward you for, you know, like the tortoise style, you know, like slow and steady wins the race.
Right.
You have to finish it as soon as possible. And I don't agree with that. I feel like there in a strategy game, it's not about being the fastest. There's a multiplicative of ways to, you know, to win. I'm not sure if I'm still using that term right, but I'm going to look it up.
No, you're almost surely not, but that's okay. We get it.
Okay, there's multiple. I just really like saying that word, but there are multiple ways of playing a strategy game, and it's a bit of a downer that you have to just rush and stuff, and I felt that at times when I got that S-star rating, I didn't like the way I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like the way I got that S-star rating for that campaign mission, so...
No, because you're like, you got your last guy, like, bleeding on death's doorstep, and you're like, hey, I got there.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, we're good.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
I mean, fastest always wins. I mean, look at Sonic.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I mean...
So,
excuse me, that's debatable.
Sergio, you did not pick up this game, right?
No.
So despite everything I'm saying, I still kind of recommend the game because particularly if you can play with other people that you actually know online so you can talk about things, the co-op maps and such are fantastic. Right. Really, really nice, and there's new content all the time because the editor is really, really nice. So... like I said, everything that I'm saying about the actual in-game campaign is probably negated by a campaign that somebody's already created.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't checked it. But the game is really fun, and it definitely satisfies that strategy game itch. I don't like the single player of it. So I don't want to be overly negative on the game. It's probably sitting around an 8.5, 9-ish for me. Like, it's pretty high. In my book, I think it's a good game, and I think they've done a good job with it. I much prefer playing multiplayer, even quick play with people I don't know, which is kind of fun. It's kind of like speed chess. You actually have a limited amount of time to make all your moves, and if you don't, well, your turn just ends, and that's it. So,
too bad.
Yeah, so it's a fun time. I like the game. I love playing the game with other people, in particular. The AI is a little questionable at times, but even if you're playing against other people, that's kind of where the game kind of shines for me.
Right.
Yeah, I also will recommend this game to you, Sergio, as well. I think it's still worth the $20 price point. Especially, for me, so far the appeal was the co-op multiplayer and the quick plays I want to get into it soon. And yeah, it's a pretty solid game despite the lackluster campaign, but
and to be fair, I haven't gotten through the campaign yet. It may get fantastic by the end. I'm slowly trudging through it, although I keep getting other games to play, so it's on a time frame at this point. Sorry, Final Fantasy is gonna win that one for a while.
Oh, for sure. I would have. That was an easy decision, but I mean, Wargroove, though, to all of y'all who are listening, we do recommend getting the game. Don't get too hyped up for the campaign, but get hyped up for the whole game in general with the mechanics, the multiplayer modes, and it's a fun time. And yeah,
and if you do get it, please join our Discord and talk to us. I'll definitely jump in some multiplayer with you guys, and I know there's quite a few of the people in the Discord who actually have the game and are actively playing it, so yeah, definitely jump in there.
Shout out to Jumping. Yeah, so Wargroove, it's going to be great, man. I mean, for those who have it, do you play it more on handheld, docked, or tabletop?
Handheld. Just,
yeah.
I play mostly on handheld on the system. And it's pretty perfect for that, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I pretty much 80% of the time I play Wargroove is on handheld, and then 20%. Tabletop, so yeah, not docked. That's it for us for Wargroove.
All right.
Well, it is time to jump out of here. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, you may want to join our Discord group. There's a link to it in the description of this episode. And like we said, there's always somebody there playing any game you're looking forward to playing. Definitely check it out. You can also follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook as Nintendo Jump. And actually, we have something else to announce.
Yeah, so hey guys, I wanted to let you guys know, we actually made the decision to open up a Patreon page that you can find us on www.patreon.com/NintendoJump. we kind of put this off for a little while, but we started talking about, especially as we want to grow as a podcast and community, and basically we want to be able to do more events, we want to be able to improve the show, and we want to be able to do, honestly, more tournaments with prizes, that kind of thing. And everything that we are able to do with our patrons, everything that we get from that side is going to go towards literally improving the show and offering prizes, particularly upcoming the Super Smash Brothers tournament and the things we're talking about for Mario Maker. So
right.
We have made that. If you want to support us, that is by far the best way to do it. Again, that's patreon.com/NintendoJump. As a note, so a lot of times people are kind of encouraged to support people on Patreon by, you know, kind of gating content. Like, you know, we're going to do special episodes for our patrons, or, you know, you got to give you guys special roles in our community and things like that. We don't intend to do that. So this is really just a way for people who believe in us and want to see us grow as a podcast to support us. And, you know, if you guys don't, we will continue doing this podcast. I'm not, we're not holding this hostage against you or anything like that, but you know, it is a way to support us, help us offer better prizes, improve what we're doing, hopefully get a website going forward, things like that, things that we want to do and grow the podcast as a show. But again, you know, I'm not going to offer too much to people who do subscribe, just because we want to improve it for all of our listeners. So right. Both of our patrons and people who don't, and that's okay. And so just being really, really clear on that one. That said, if you do contact us after becoming a patron, you know, if you want something, we'll send you a little gift in the mail. We actually have some cute little Nintendo Jump buttons. So this is a good way to get, you know, support us, and we'll send you a little button. But we do appreciate it. Again, one more time, that's www.patreon.com/NintendoJump. And we appreciate it.
Yeah. Just one more word before we go. Like what Daryl said, we're constantly improving our show. We're constantly figuring out ways to better it. And, you know, like we had a successful live show last time, you know, our game music episodes. I mean, things like that. With your contributions, we can further, you know, bolster our show in such a way where it's for you all. It's for y'all. And I can't stress it enough how much this means to us in terms of, you know, like for having that support, and this is just another way to show it. So, yeah. And like what Daryl said, I too do not believe in the whole special roles thing. I think can someone alienate others from, you know, certain things? And it's just, this is not how we do things here. So but yeah, that's Patreon's an option. And again, thank you so much. And we really appreciate the support regardless. So that's it for me.
Yeah, definitely. If you're interested, please check out our Patreon. We appreciate it. Also, don't forget that all of our episodes are on YouTube, and you can leave us a comment there. Let us know what you thought of the Direct, what you want us to discuss on future episodes, or if you have any feedback. You can take it there or via social media or via email at nintendojumppodcast@gmail.com. We also ask that you please leave us a review on your podcast application of choice. We would really appreciate it. And we also want you to keep sending in your music suggestions for our next music episode. You can send them via email or contact any of us via Discord or even social media. Whatever you prefer, definitely get us your music so we can do another music episode soon. Once again, this is Sergio, and on behalf of Daryl and Kevin, thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Ba-ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.